Hello, welcome back. In this video, we're going to discuss the Sherman antitrust laws. Now, we spoke in the last video about monopolies and the antitrust government policy that is enacted to regulate monopolies. Well, we're going to discuss specific law that is still law today, the Sherman Antitrust Act, and we'll just discuss on how it's implemented, why it's implemented, and why it's effective for our small businesses, or businesses in general who look to monopolize. U.S. economy in the late 1800s, right? We need to look at this. Abundant natural resources, right? You got to think, in the 1800s, especially the late 1800s, the Industrial Revolution was just in its infancy, right? The technology was coming on board. Things were being able to be mass produced, and so especially in the United States, because we have natural resources that are abundant, right? So we have people with great wealth that came in and wanted to create a business like Standard Oil, owned by the Rockefellers, or natural gas, or whatever, railroad industry, things like that, right? So you had one group, one person, one entity that would own all of the oil or own all of the railroads, right? So the government wanted to come in and make industries more competitive, right, so that more people could get a piece of the action and the profits, and so more people could have jobs and the economy could grow naturally, right, instead of being just leveraged by one entity and they control the cash flow and the revenues and the expenses in one single industry. The government looks to create and promote competition. So this is some healthy regulation by the government that actually is going to benefit the consumer and the natural market, right? So let's look next. So the U.S. economy in the late 1800s had a willing and able workforce along with an abundant natural resources, right? So we had a pro-business regulation, so they were set up as pro-business. We want to see economic growth. Advances in technology were happening rapidly, as again, this was the infancy of the Industrial Revolution. John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie capitalized on the Industrial Revolution by establishing huge corporations in the oil and steel industries. This period of economic expansion increased quality of life for most, enabled us to have low unemployment and opportunities for innovation and entrepreneurship, also introduced threats to the free market. So again, we'll kind of talk about a monopoly. During the Industrial Revolution in the late 1800s, for the first time in the U.S. economy, the consumer experienced the power that can come from a monopoly, right? A monopoly is a single company that controls an entire industry. So a monopoly may not always be beneficial to the consumer, because if they're the only competition in the industry, they can charge whatever they want, right? So this is why the government has got to come in and regulate that, because if they are holding this industry hostage and they have the ability to raise prices or lower prices as they seem fit, what's to stop them from, offering their products at an exorbitant price, a very large price, where it prices out the consumers, but they're making a ton of money because the products are expensive, so they don't have to sell as much, right? So we want to make sure that the government wants to make sure that consumers have a fair and equal opportunity to purchase products in the market that is fair but still free. They want to create competition in the market. So let's look at the threat of monopolies and trust, right? Regulators struggle with how to continue to create a business-friendly environment, but also protect consumers from potential abuses of a monopoly. When a company controls an entire market, it has no competition. It is able to keep supply artificially low, forcing prices up. Remember what we just talked about, right? They want to keep the supply tight, forcing prices up, pricing consumers out of the market, but they don't have to sell as much to make the same amount of money, if not more, because they're raising prices. Monopolies can fix prices to achieve outrageously high margins, as we just discussed. The United States was the freest market in the world at this time, but it was also clear to regulators that an efficient free market system was only possible with competition, right? There's, you know, a free market, it's not really free if there's one company that controls the entire industry, right? It's not really free then, because they are dominating this industry. So now if we can piece in competition, now they have to worry about what they're doing and what their pricing is like, and now they have to kind of go in and compete with them. So if their price is up here and you have a competitor that comes in and undercuts them, naturally their prices are going to have to fall so that they don't, go bankrupt, or they're going to lose a ton of sales volume if they're staying at a high price while another company comes in and offers at a low price. You know, consumers are naturally going to migrate to the lower priced product as long as the quality is similar, right? So this is why the government wanted to create an efficient free market system, but through evidence, it was only able to do that through promoting competition, right, and making it fair for the consumer and offering better prices in the market. So what is the Sherman Antitrust Act, right? It is the first major federal antitrust law. It targeted at breaking up monopolies. It prohibited prohibits two types of anti-competitive business behavior. One, contracts, combinations, or conspiracies and restraint for trade or commerce. Policies or monopolies and attempts to monopolize. So they want to make sure, one, obviously, collusion, right? The first point, we're talking about collusion here, right? We don't want companies coming together to collude or maybe even merging, right? Or being acquired, right? Being bought out, because now once they collude, you're kind of shifting into a monopoly and you are setting yourself up to be a dominant player or the only player controlling the movement of revenues in that space. And obviously, they want to prohibit the monopolization of firms. So the Sherman Antitrust Act does fail to define what a contract, combination, or conspiracy in restraint of trade is, but it's more or less known as collusion, right? They want to prevent the collusion, being a factor in monopolization of firms, based in the common law interpretation of federal courts.